This is Live on Purpose Radio, episode 592, Your Spiritual Mental Mastermind with David Essel. Now is the only time to create and live the life you love. I'm Dr. Paul Jenkins, the positivity psychologist. My job is to connect you to powerful positive psychology principles that immediately upgrade your relationships, business, and mental health. Are you ready? Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Live on Purpose Radio. This is Dr. Paul, the shrink who expands your life, with another episode of Live on Purpose Radio. Joining me today is the mind behind your spiritual mental mastermind. This is David Essel. Welcome to the show, David.
Dr. Paul, love your energy. We're going to have a blast today. And there's so much great information that your group will pick up to be able to change their lives, to go deeper, you know? So I've been ready for you, waiting for you, and here we are.
And here we are. David is the author of now 15 books, all about topics that have some common themes around taking charge of your life. Around here, David, we call it living on purpose.
Right.
It's basically the same idea where instead of having life push you around, you latch onto principles, timeless truths that are available to everyone. And it's not magic. It's not luck. By applying those principles, you can move forward with what your divine calling is. Whatever that is, whatever your purpose is.
Right.
And I know you believe this because you live it and you help other people to live it all the time. David, tell us, if you would, why you're so passionate about this idea of your spiritual mental mastermind. We'll talk about what it is as well. What brought you to this place? Why is it so important?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Dr. Paul. And I'll tell you how this whole program came about. In 1980, one of my mentors gave me the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I'm reading the book and I started my business in 79. So I'm in business for a year as an entrepreneur on my own. And I'm reading the book and he talks about a mental mastermind group that he does for business. And I'm reading it, and he calls in people that are passed on. He'll call in Edison, Ford,
Lincoln,
Abraham Lincoln, right? All these different people. Every morning he calls into his room and he has a list of questions for his business. How do we increase income? How do we expand our reach? Blah, blah, whatever it might be that he was challenged with at the time. And he said it never failed that during one of his morning meetings with all of these different people in his mental mastermind group, that someone would come forward, or two or three people come forward with information that he hadn't thought of that was brilliant and he could put into play instantly. So in 1980, I created my business mental mastermind group because I was just in business. And I called in people at that time that I had great respect for. Earl Nightingale was one. Earl Nightingale was the beginning. Nightingale Conant was an incredibly huge audio company. And they would interview the most mind-blowing people of the time. I happened to be very fortunate. And in 1990, I was part of Nightingale Conant. And so I brought in Earl Nightingale. You know, I would bring in Edgar Cayce, who's a very well-known in his world of spirituality and healing. I would just bring in all these different people that I had a lot of respect for. Yogananda, Paramahansa. I would bring in Christ. I would bring in Buddha, Krishna. I mean, all of these different entities, right? And after I did it for business, I said, if I can do it for business now, what would happen if I did it to my spiritual path? And that's when things started to blow up out of control, Dr. Paul. All of a sudden, I'm getting this information. And you know, when we talk about the book, I'll tell you stories from the book. But in the beginning, one of the first things I felt, I think I had five people. Now it's, 44 years later, right? I probably have about 15 or 20 every morning that I welcome in to this group. And I have a couple questions written and I just ask the questions. And then I go into sort of a meditative state and I just listen. What a beautiful way, first of all, to start your day.
Interesting.
What an incredible way to start your day. And, my mom and dad have passed in the last 3 years, and I have them as part of it. And And I've had visitations from my mom and dad, clear as day. I've had visitations when my partner's head was on my chest. You know, she was in and out of sleep and that. And then she started to wake and I could see my mother talking to me. And all of a sudden my partner's going, oh my God, what's going on? You know, like I've had the most incredible things come out of this in mental mastermind group. Now you can do it for business. You can do it for health. You can do it for spirituality. When we do it for spirituality, we say you can do it for anything. I mean, we have one individual right now in his group. He has Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk isn't necessarily a spiritual person as far as I know. He might be incredibly spiritual, but he gives my client the most incredible information to his questions every morning. And this client also has Jesus Christ in his group, and he has several other people in it. Now, what's really interesting, Dr. Paul, is that a lot of people right off the bat will say, this is crazy. You're talking to dead people.
I'm a psychologist, David. I'm over here thinking, okay, do this guy need a diagnosis?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know,
but you've got a master's degree. You've been a counselor and a coach. And you know that it can sound crazy on the surface, but you're going to take us to a different level here.
Yeah, a very different level. You know, what we have found and believe, not everyone believes this, but life is eternal. It's never ending. You don't die and go to hell or purgatory or something. You know, you go into the ethers, you go into the astral world, you go into maybe, you know, I haven't been there yet, but I know I will be at some point soon. But I don't believe we ever die. And as a matter of fact, the visitations from my mom and dad came because I created gateways. And now I teach people in the grieving process how to create gateways to communicate with people on the other side. Now, here's a guy, David Essel, with no background in this, who has studied under so many prophetic teachers, a Thich Nhat Hanh, Lama Surya Das. I mean, some real Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, one of the greatest mentors I've ever had in my life, who was the founder of Transcendental Meditation, by the way. And, you know, these individuals have influenced me so deeply. They've opened my mind so greatly. That when I say we don't ever die, I really believe that. And now that also means if we never die, that we must be able to communicate with those who have passed on and they must be able to communicate with us. I've seen it happen now for 45 straight years. I know there are doubters and that's okay. You know, for people that doubt that this is real, that's all right. When you hear, and I'll share some of the stories from the book of clients that did not want to take the advice of their spiritual mental mastermind group, but then did, and their life radically changed. They're blown away, as you can imagine. They're sitting there in the morning and they've got their four or five people. They could be alive, they could have passed on, and they're getting advice. They say, this doesn't make sense. So they come to my session, I work with them once a week, and I'll say, what's going on with your spiritual mental mastermind group? And they'll say, well, you know, I keep getting this message to do A, B, C, or D, and I don't even like A, B, C, or D. Mm-hmm. And that could be the key to your success, doing what you'd rather not do, doing what you think you don't like. One classic example I've got to share right away. Woman comes in and she says that she's struggling with depression. After a few sessions, it's not depression at all. She is in a full-blown PTSD experience. I mean, agoraphobic, the whole nine yards. And so we're working together and she hadn't been out of her house in a number of years. She's on heavy duty psychotropic drugs. She is barely making it, just barely making it. So we start our sessions on the phone and then she gets strong enough to come into the office. And when she came in, she was shaking like a leaf, Dr. Paul. She didn't know what to expect. The trauma had been so ingrained for so many years. She had never done anything really, literally to get out of it other than take medication. So I introduced this group and you can imagine her mindset. You know, here's someone that is agoraphobic, is on heavy drugs and she's going, talk to the dead, David, what's going on here type of thing. I said, well, I go, you know, you don't have to choose people who have passed on. You can choose people who are still alive. You know, I have the Dalai Lama in my group. You know, he's still alive, right? So I said, you can choose people that are alive. So she goes for the first week and she comes in. She goes, I'm not really sure I'm getting it. So we went through the process again and then everything changed. She comes in 7 days later, Dr. Paul, she sits down and she says, David Essel, where did you come up with this program? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, this is so different. And I didn't believe it worked, but it did work. And I'll tell you in a minute, but where did you get this from? You know, and there's a very interesting term in the 90s that we used to say that we were being downloaded information, right? So the computers hit the, you know, the world that I think I got mine in 1994 or five. And all of a sudden everyone was talking about downloading from what? From this experience that is out there, that's this energy that's circulating the world. And so if you open your crown chakra, the top of your head, you open your mind and you call upon these great teachers to be a part of your life and you ask them for assistance, they're going to help you. So it took 2 weeks of her doing this. And all of a sudden, one morning, she has 5 or 7 people in her group and every one of them is saying the same thing. Get an emotional support dog. And she said, David, I've heard that so much. And that doesn't make sense to me because I hate dogs. Like, why would they keep telling me to get an emotional support dog? And I looked at her and I said, have you ever had an emotional support dog? She said, no, I just told you I hate them. Well, what we think will never work might be the answer to where you are. And we talked for the rest of that session. And at the end of it, she said, okay, but I don't think it's going to work. But I keep getting the same answer every morning. So, and I understand what you're saying. I'm going to give it a shot. Well, Dr. Paul, fast forward, and you know what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
This woman was radically changed. She goes to restaurants. She goes to movies. She travels. She does things she's never done in 7 or 8 years. And so when people say, is this real? I say, well, let me tell you the examples. And that's just one. You know, we can go on and on and on, Dr. Paul. There is so much power in the open-minded individual when it comes to healing, especially healing that we're not familiar with. Now, you go to the East, and this is commonplace. You know, you go to the Buddhist teachers and the Hindu teachers and all these spiritual gurus and guides, and they understand that you can tap into this power, this outrageous energy that's constantly circulating. And one of the comments that we always get is, you know, it's the same thing that Edison did. It's the same thing that Ford did. It's the same thing Napoleon Hill did. You know, they had challenges and they had time of meditation and they asked questions from God, maybe, or whoever they were talking to. And it brought them to inventions, to things that they never would have thought on their own. Going back to the woman with PTSD, you know, she never, ever would have got a dog. And yet the dog was the answer and it came from her spiritual group.
You know, the word inspiration implies a connection to spiritual energy.
Absolutely.
The word itself.
Yeah.
And we are very accustomed in our Western traditions. You noted some of the Eastern traditions, which are more ancient, actually, than a lot of the Western traditions. But we've become accustomed to consuming the words, the ideas, the inspiration of people who have passed on through their books, for example.
Right.
I've got Napoleon Hill's book right here on my shelf.
Yeah.
And I knew that that's where that mastermind idea came from. This is where I encountered it first.
Yes. Yes.
And I compose mastermind groups of living people who come together and actually combine their mental energies. And I have seen that spiritual magnifying that happens when it's not just my brain that's working on this, my mind.
Right.
And what you're proposing here is such an interesting idea because we already embrace that when it comes to books. Or now I've got a dear friend who passed away a couple of years ago who is very prominent on YouTube and is now immortalized on YouTube. And I can obtain that energy live, real time.
Yes.
So is it that much of a stretch to think that if, like you're saying, we don't actually die, that there's a part of us, and I think a lot of people really believe this, David, that there's a part of us that is eternal.
That's right.
That never dies. I remember I was interviewing on this show Ron Zeller, who is a world-class leadership trainer. He passed away several years ago as well. But before he died, I went and I interviewed him. I showed up at his house, and he greeted me at the door. He was in kind of the later stages of his lung cancer at that point. And had a hard time breathing, and he kind of it took a little effort for him to actually come to the door and greet me. And he said, "Polly," he's the only person on the planet who ever called me Polly. "Polly, how old are you?" And I was joking around with him. I think I was just turning 50 that year or something. And I said, "Well, my twin sister turns 50 next month." And he chuckled a little bit and he said, "Oh, Oh, you mean you're referring to the age of your carbon-based earth suit.
Right.
That's what he called it, your body, right?
Yes,
said,
yes.
How old are you? And his point was that we are ageless.
Yes.
That when we're born, we existed before in some form. And when die, we exist after in some form. And most spiritual traditions on the planet address that.
Mm-hmm.
At some level, because if this is it, this carbon-based earth suit is all we got.
Yeah.
Well, a suit implies an occupant.
Yes.
Of the suit, right?
That's right. That's right.
So I'm hearing from you as you're introducing this idea of your spiritual mental mastermind that we can invite and be open to inspiration from the great minds that have preceded us.
That's right.
And not only that, but they are willing to help us.
And, you know, I honestly believe that they're waiting to be called upon. I really believe this, Dr. Paul. And that's where we get to this whole concept of gateways. You know, to me, gateways, it's not really a fancy term. It just imagine a gate that opens up, right? And so we're creating something that opens up, that allows the spiritual entities, whatever you want to refer to them, the energy of the universe, whatever you want to say, to come and be a part of our existence. You know, there was a gentleman, I always refer to him as a Hell's Angel, because he looks, he's a big, muscular, strong dude, long black hair, wears a leather jacket, rides a huge Harley. You know, he's very intimidating when you see him walk in the door with dark sunglasses on. I'll tell you that. He's got a big beard. He's huge. And he's a client of mine. He's an entrepreneur, and I've been helping him grow his business immensely. And we get to this point where I say, okay, listen, I can help you to a level, but you need more than me now. Now you need to get into the spiritual world. And he looks at me, he goes, what the hell are you talking about? And I said, seriously, I said, there's so much help out there. I can help you once a week for our hour, but why don't you take advantage of this program? So he said, explain it to him. I explained it to him. He said, when did you start doing this? I said, 1980. Why did you start doing it? I said, I was following Napoleon Hill. It worked great for my business. I thought it might work for spirituality. It's been amazing. I said, but let me tell you something. Even though we call the spiritual mental mastermind group, you can use it to increase your faith. You can use it to learn new ways to meditate, new ways to pray, but you can also use it for your health, for your business. If, you know, these people are smart as can be. These entities that you're calling in, they can handle any question, my Lord. So feel free. So what did this guy do? He very first thing, he went and bought Napoleon Hill's book, and he read the several chapters on the mental mastermind. He came in the next week and he said, I am so sold. I can't believe this. He goes, David, I wasn't sold with you. But when I read that Napoleon Hill used it, and he went into such detail about it, and then I'm listening to you say, we're doing the same thing just in the spiritual world. He goes, wait till you hear what's happened in the last 7 days. And he ripped off these things that were so incredible, Dr. Paul, the information he had gotten, the tips he had gotten for his business, for his fiance. He was asking questions about everything, and every day he would get solid answers. And I had mentioned, you know, he's got several people, Elon Musk and Christ are two of the people he's got in it. And he said, you would not believe how similar they are in the way they speak and in their answers, David. He said, it's mind-blowing to think that Elon Musk and Jesus Christ could come from the same type of love, the same type of let me help you, the same type of I'm so glad you're here. He said, I get all of these feelings of emotion. And this isn't the first person that said that. But what I was really happy with is that he took the time to see where I created my program. And I give Napoleon Hill so much credit. Even though Napoleon Hill never did this as a spiritual mental mastermind, I give him all the credit in the world, because without him, I wouldn't have thought of this. You know, now, Dr. Paul, I'll tell you from my perspective, some of the most amazing things that have come. My mom passed away 3 years ago, January, and my mom and I we had this most incredible love relationship. And it didn't start until really my 20s. From 0 to 18, I was just a jerk. I was out of control emotionally. My parents did not know how to handle someone so sensitive. No one knew how to handle it. The doctors back then, and I can remember 1959, Dr. Paul sitting in the doctor's office because my energy, my attitude was so terrible. And he's smoking cigarettes while, you know, the doctors in 59 are smoking cigarettes in the freaking office. And I can remember saying, all your son has is allergies. Like, they didn't know in 1959 that a four-year-old could actually be depressed or be anxious or have ADD or have ADHD or all of this stuff that we found out in 1990 that I had since birth. Like, they had no idea how to even treat me. They didn't know what to do. So my mom and I battled like hell, and I was not a good kid, but she never, a couple of things that I think are important for parents to hear, and everyone has to make their own decisions. But regardless of what I did, she never once kicked me out of the house. And that doesn't mean that that's not the right thing for someone else. I'm just talking about my experience. She, and this is the most important part, she never made me feel unlovable. Even when she was coming down on me for one more thing I did wrong and this thing I did wrong and this thing I did wrong, an hour or two later, she'd come in and sit there. Sometimes she didn't say a word. I didn't need to hear a word. I knew what her intention was. So when I got on, right, you know, it's like so powerful. It's so powerful. You know,
she's just there to love you.
She loves me still right to this day, Dr. Paul. She is so loving. And, yes. You know, and in my 20s, I realized it. And I remember calling my parents. And then that was when we had speaker phones. Of course, we didn't have cell phones yet. And, you know, I said, I want you guys to hear something. 90% of what you tried to teach me as a child was correct. And I couldn't hear you. Now, do they have a role in that? Yeah, because you have to know how to talk to a super sensitive child. And they just didn't have that experience. But I took the responsibility to say to them, I screwed up. And you guys are loving. And they were loving parents, Dr. Paul. They just didn't know how to handle me. But that call turned my mother and I around like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, in my 50s, when she was still alive, she would send me a care package every freaking month. Pound of coffee, a block of cheese, crackers. I mean, she treated me like, you know, I was still 10 or something. You know, it was really beautiful. And one of the hardest things was when she died, because she died of dementia. And I didn't get a chance to grab her in a lucid state and to say everything I wanted to say to her. And so one day, and COVID was there, and my brother had raced her to the hospital for something. She was in hospice at home. Both my mom and dad were in hospice for 3 years, Dr. Paul, in their house, for God's sake. Wow. And my brother raced her to the hospital, and the hospital said, you have to leave. My brother said, I'm not leaving my mother here. And they said, you have to. And they said, he said, I'm not going to. Call the police. Do whatever you have to do. I'm staying with my mother. I'm not leaving her in a hospital alone. She has dementia. She doesn't know where the hell she is. And they said, then you have to stay for 4 days. He said, great, I'll sleep on the floor, which he did. But the one thing that happened is that when she was in a catatonic state, conscious barely, her head was back, her eyes wide open, her mouth wide open. And I had 25 minutes on FaceTime, staring into her eyes. It was a tough picture to look at, and telling her everything in the world that I knew she needed to hear, how much I loved her, that if it's time and she's ready to go to God, that please, mom, go. We're going to be great without you. You have trained us to be so efficient and so self-supporting. You have trained us. You know, Dr. Paul, do you know today, I still do what my mom taught me as a child. Every night I put my clothes out for work. Every night I make my lunches for the next day. Every night I pack my gym bag, just like she had me doing at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And during that time, when she was in the hospital and, you know, this horrendous expression on her face, and I didn't know if she could hear a thing, and I go on for 25 minutes, and my brother was crying hysterically because of how deep I was getting with her. You know, I just ripped every armor off of me and went raw, just went raw. And, you know, at the end of 25 minutes, as I was saying goodbye, she gave out two grunts. And I knew she had heard everything. And then when she did pass, and this is where I'm going to go into the spiritual mental mastermind group, I had an extremely difficult 10 months. I was up at 4:30 to 5 every day for 5 hours in the courtyard of my house, sitting, writing to her, praying, complete breakdown every day for 10 months. But every day I went to my spiritual mentor, my group, and asked, how can I move through this? How can I be supportive to my mother on the other side? And they started telling me to write letters. So for 10 months, every night in bed, I wrote a letter to my mother. What she meant to me, what happened that day. I would say, Mom, I know you've seen it all, but I'm going to tell you what my day was like. You know, it was like, like she was still here. It was so beautiful. And then at the 10th month mark, all of a sudden I get this message from the Mantle Mastermind group. And they said, tear up your courtyard. Dig the biggest garden you have ever dug for your mother's favorite flowers. She was an immense gardener. She will love that, David. Do you know, Dr. Paul, that was Christmas Eve morning at 5 a.m. when I got that message. By 9 a.m., I'm tearing up all of these massive concrete, we call them
the pavers.
Pavers. I don't know how many, hundreds of them. And I just put them on the corner of the street for people to take for free. And I started digging. I dug for 12 hours on Christmas Eve. Before it closed, I went to Home Depot and bought a ton of hibiscus and all of these incredibly beautiful flowers. And on Christmas Day, I spent the entire day building this massive flower garden for my mother. That was one of the greatest healing exercises I could have ever been given in my life. And it came from my spiritual group. I never would have thought of that on my own. For 10 months, I couldn't figure out other than writing letters to her. And then, Dr. Paul, the next thing that happened is that I was encouraged by my group to invite my mother in. When you write to her, invite her to come and join you. Invite her to show up. And so I did. Every night I would write, I'd say, Mom, whenever you're ready, I would so love to see you. And then let me tell you this incredible story. I'm laying there in bed, and my partner's head is on my chest, and I'm wide awake. I'm thinking of the day, thinking of different things, and she's in and out. And all of a sudden, I see in front of me this big black screen, and I'm really intrigued, you know, and the screen goes up, and there's a hallway. And now I'm really intrigued. My eyes are wide open. My bed, there's a light on in the bathroom. It's not like that I'm in complete blackness. You know, I can see, but all I can really focus on is this hallway. And then a figure starts walking towards me. And they come into the light, and it's Jesus Christ. And he looks at me with this most beautiful expression that the only thing I can say is it contentment. This most beautiful look of contentment, like everything's fine, everything is good, no words were ever spoken, and then the screen went back down. 30 seconds later, I have no idea what's going on, the screen goes back up, and there's the hallway again, and I'm expecting Christ to come and maybe say something, and then another figure walks down the hall, and when that figure gets into the light, it's my mother. And she looks at me, and this is what she used to say when I was a child. It's so beautiful. She would look at me and go, oh, David. Oh, my love. If I made an error, she might say that, you know, if I made a mistake.
Right,
and she was
right.
So filled with love, you know. And she looks at me and she says, oh, David. Oh, my love. I want you to know I'm doing great, honey. Your mom is doing great. I'm with you all the time. I'm never apart from you. I'm going to have to go now. I just have a short period of time. But please, please remember, your mother loves you so much, and she's always with you. And with that, the screen went back down. And I leaped out of bed, Dr. Paul. I leaped out of bed. And my partner goes, oh, my God, what happened? And I turned to her and said, I think you know what happened. She said, I do. She said, what was it like? I heard you talking. What was it like? You know, and I relived it and relived it and relived it. And it's one of the most beautiful things, you know. And she's come back several more times. My father has visited me once where I could see his face. He's come to me in other visions. My work in the world of grieving was thrown out the window after these experiences with my mother and father, and I rewrote the whole manual.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I realized that I was a textbook grieving expert until now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a real grieving expert because I've gone through the most incredible pain that we all go through. But I also have found this incredible love and wisdom that is always with me. My mother and father mm-hmm. are never apart from me, and they're never apart from my brother or sister. And if you have an open mind, you can have any experience that you want, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to invite mm-hmm. them in. Now, I don't know if this is true, Dr. Paul. I don't know if what I'm going to say next is true, that we have to invite them because they don't have the ability to come to us unless we invite them. I'm not sure if that's true.
And I don't know.
I'm going to share.
You know, I did have a thought, though.
Go right ahead.
I just want to share something. And we're almost out of time for today, but it's so intriguing to think about what you've offered up here today. And when you were talking about the gate earlier.
Yeah.
The thought that came to me, and even as you were sharing your story, and it applies to this question that you're asking, you know, does it require an invitation?
Yeah.
I think the gate might be for us to be open to.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
And as that gate opens and we have a willingness to humble ourselves, to receive the wisdom of the ages.
Yes.
And the sages.
Yeah, that's right.
It's there, but are we open to it? And I'm also thinking about what you were talking about earlier in our conversation about some of the Eastern traditions and meditation, which is something that we don't generally practice as well in our Western traditions.
Right.
It's quieting the mind and being open and listening to what's probably already there for us if we will open the gate and actually step through it ourselves.
Amen. And I agree with you. It could be that way as well. It could be that we are mm-hmm. the gate openers, you know. But I do believe that we can all have an immense ability to communicate with those on the other side. And the one thing I just want to add to this is that, you know, a lot of us had some pretty horrendous relationships with our parents. And some of us had almost zero relationship with our parents. Some of us never knew who our parents were. And those are tough things. You know, they're very, very difficult. You know, I'm very blessed. And so I want to bring up for people that did not have the blessed childhood, you know, even though my parents didn't know what to do with me, they did their best. I want you to ask, I'm going to ask you to do something really big and really heavy. And this is for you. I want you to try to do your very best, and you'll have to do it through the help of a professional. Turning the other cheek is not forgiveness, as we've been told. It doesn't work that way. But I would love for you to work on forgiveness for yourself, because when you carry that burden of frustration, hatred, you know, victimhood because my mom was an alcoholic, because my mom was a prostitute, because my father was never home, whatever it is, you know, like you're suffering. You're increasing your suffering. And I talk about the love of my parents, but I'm also adding this part because I don't want to leave anyone out. I feel for you. I am so sorry you didn't get the support you needed as a child. I know it hurts. It hurts really deeply. And we are the only ones that can heal ourselves. Through the work of a professional, you can heal yourself. You can heal the relationship. There's so much that can be done. And I want you to really think deeply. Please don't carry the burden of suffering from childhood because you did not connect with your parents. It's something that's not necessary, and it'll interfere with your creativity. It'll interfere with your ability to give and receive love. Everything comes from 0 to 18. If we don't learn it then, we've got to learn it afterwards. Please don't give up on yourself, and please do the work.
Powerful message, a powerful invitation. Yeah. And I'll add my emphasis to that invitation as well. I think the healing is not only possible, but it's essential.
It is
to our happiness and our experience of joy, and also the way we can build our businesses and create value in this world. It's all got those same roots.
Yes.
David, thank you so much for sharing so authentically your story with us and this idea that is so powerful. I mentioned earlier that you've written a bunch of books, 15.
Yeah.
The most recent of which deals with this topic specifically. It's called Lessen Your Burdens and Lift Your Spirits. And you'll find that on David's website, you guys. David Essel, ESSEL.com. All the books are there, and you'll see all of the other programs and things that David's doing. David, is there a final little message that you want to leave our listeners before we close?
Yeah, take care of yourself. You know, self-love is missing in this world right now. We have a lot of people very angry. Anxiety is through the roof. Addictions have gone crazy. Try to take care of yourself. Show yourself you love yourself. You know, I'll use a word that some people will totally understand. Your mind is a temple. Your body is a temple. Treat it like one. And watch your life change.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, you got something from this. It's time to go apply what we got and live on purpose. Did you get what you came for? Give yourself the gift of taking real action on what you realized today. Please share this episode with someone you know would value it and leave us a rating too. It's time now to live on purpose.